Bonjour à tous.
Excellent.
Okie dokie. Okay. Thanks. All right then. So before we begin, I'd like you to consider this frog here. He's quite a cute little frog. We had him just in our driveway. And the frog illustrates a very simple metaphor in English, where you put that cute guy in some water and then you gradually heat up that water until you cook it and he doesn't realise what's going on. So I want you to think about Froggy here while I say a few statements about privacy to you. So do we actually need privacy? All our family and friends are using social media. Our grandparents, our parents, they're using Facebook. They're listening to their friends post on social media and agreeing with everything that they say, whether or not there is logic to it. And teenagers, they've been on MySpace, they've been on Bebo, they've got their own networks, they've got TikTok and Visco. So, privacy, what's the point of it? It's dead, throw it away. And everybody's worried about the bad people, the terrorists, people coming in to change your way of life. So we need to give that up for our own personal security. So yeah, how's that water feeling? A little bit toasty? So we have a problem space that it's very hard to explain to people. But luckily for us, back in ancient Greece, and before that, civilizations were trying to tell people how to interact with each other in a civilized way so that we weren't constantly at war. And the way they did that with things like simple stories, like Aesop's fables. We look at them nowadays and we're like, that's children's stories. But at the time, civilization was in the progress of reprogramming human beings to interact. So with that ado, I'd like to introduce you to this guy. This is Ovid. He was a poet during the late reign of Augustus. And he was kind of like considered a kind of cool new kid because he'd followed on from Virgil, who was considered a mate of the emperor. And he was writing during a time when Augustus was hoodwinking the Roman Senate into thinking they were still a democracy and he wasn't a dictator, honest. And what Ovid wrote about were the gods and how they interacted with mortals and with people lower down the pecking order, like nymphs, like demigods. And Ovid wrote, often took Greek myths and he'd adjust those Greek myths to write about transformation and the effect of imperial power. Of course, the sad thing for Ovid was because he was writing about this sort of thing, he ended up exiled to the Black Sea in Constanza in modern Romania. And no one's quite sure why he got sent there, but a good indication might have been the affair that he may have been having with Augustus's granddaughter Julia. And he also made the huge mistake of writing a piece of work called the Ars Aromata, which pickup artists like going, this is brilliant, because in it he takes the piss out of other scientific treatises at the time, where he details the way you can go and pique a woman's interest, pick her up, and then when you're bored, just get rid of her. Classic scholars do not like that interpretation of it, so don't ever do that to them. So the reason why this wasn't a good thing and he got exiled was at the time Augustus was trying to bring in a new philosophy to Roman public life, which was traditional family values. The family unit is a man and his wife, and if you study the Cambridge Latin course, there's some children as well. So Ovid fell foul of that. Now, why am I mentioning Ovid? Well, there's a very good reason why I'm mentioning Ovid, because in his work, The Metamorphosis, he wrote about Io and Argus. So Io was a beautiful, lovely, gorgeous nymph just tiptoeing around in the countryside. And Zeus, who never could resist having a Me Too moment whenever he could, decided he'd like her to be his next squeeze. She said no. Me too moment. And Zeus, realizing that very soon he'd be in a little bit of trouble with Hera, who was a little bit jealous and prone to victim blaming, decided to go and cover it up by covering the land in a cloud. all over it. Now, as what happens when people in power try and cover things up, someone's eventually going to notice the process of covering things up. And Hera was up there in Olympus going, there's a big massive cloud down there. Zeus isn't around. I'm going to go see what Zeus is up to. So she goes down, finds Zeus there. She goes, hey, what are you up to? And what she found was Zeus standing there with a cow. Because what he'd gone and done to cover it up was turn poor Io into a cow. And she went, hey, Zeus, that's a pretty cow. Can I have the cow? And Zeus, because he was an absolute coward, went, yeah, have the cow. She's pretty. Yeah, just you do it. Slopes off, leaving poor Io behind in the hands of a vengeful, angry goddess. So what she then does is decide to put poor Io under constant surveillance using her tool, who was a 100-eyed giant called Argus Panoptes. And it was constant surveillance because he didn't actually need to close all of his eyes in order to get sleep. So poor Io's wandering about with this giant keeping an eye on her. She managed to get to a stream and speak to her father, who was a river god, so he started making a fuss. But she couldn't get away from the surveillance. Eventually, Zeus felt just a tiny, tiny little bit guilty that he'd done this and she was in this situation. So what he did was go to the god Hermes and go, can you just sort this for me? Because, you know, I'm getting a lot of flack about this and I'd kind of just like it to go away. And so Hermes decided to do an exploit where he did a little bit of social engineering on Argus and told him a long and boring story. Argus fell completely asleep, all of the eyes completely closed, and then Hermes pretty much just murdered him. Surveillance disabled. Of course, the trouble is, Io is still a cow at this point. But she manages to get away. She gets all the way to the River Nile. And then, while she was trying to get away, Hera, still being a tiny bit vengeful, pursued her with a gadfly. I'm sure that you can think about many whistleblowers in our industry that have been pursued quite a bit for whistleblowing or for bringing up allegations. Eventually, though, she turned back into a nymph again and all was well, and she had children. Yay! So what did Ovid add to the story? Because Ovid would take the basic Greek myths and he'd add a little touch. And what he added was peacocks. Hera felt just really quite sad that her tool of surveillance was dead and she couldn't use it.